This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:04 in the evening, and for our very first story, we're talking about Google, because Google just released what people have been Googling the most in 2018, and it was a delightful mixed bag from world events to heartwarming stories to surprising cultural phenomenons.
But this is a miracle rescue. All 13 members of the soccer team are out of the cave.
He turns into a superhero set on feeding as many homeless people as possible.
This election, we've seen historic voter turnout.
Vote! An all-Asian cast, there's nothing more empowering.
But when we look closer to home, Malaysians have turned their attention from foreign celebrities and entertainment gossip to current events in the country. Among the trending top three searches made by Malaysians in the past 12 months was the United Nations International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, the ICERD. Google Malaysia Head of Communication and Public Affairs, Zefri Yusof, says it was surprising because ICERD only peaked around October, along with the big rally that took place over the weekend. The fact that it is an end-of-the-year thing and still made it to the top three means the Malaysia volume on the search was pretty high.
So, Zefri said in previous years, the top searches for personalities had mainly been on both local and international celebrities, but the trend changed this year. Najib was the most searched for individual in 2018, with his arrest and whereabouts topping the most searched thing in Malaysia. Datin Sri Rosmah Manso is in the fourth position, and the interest on the ground, of course, was palpable.
I think the biggest drama would be Najib and Rosmah. I think that would be the next episode that all the citizens would like to see. How is it going to go about?
So I think definitely like after the pardon of Anwar, how soon would Tunem release his power? So the Council of Elders seemed like a very interesting thing. But I hope that the livelihood of the average Malaysian improves progressively.
Well, I love to go all political and like very technical with everything. But I guess now who calls dibs on her Birkin bags?
So moving on from personalities, Zefri said the World Cup tournament was the most searched, followed by SPR or the Election Commission. To Zefri, the fact that SPR is up there shows how proactive Malaysians were in checking their verification and voter registration and perhaps even looking at the election results. Google Malaysia have never seen a year that is more political than this year, and they have been doing this for 7 years since 2011. Zefri said it was interesting to see the shift in trends for 2018 as the Malaysian online market grows to become more active and mature.
So you went on to say that Malaysia is considered a mature online market with about 85% of our population online. Smartphone penetration is about 8 out of 10, while household internet penetration is at about 6 million. And all this is based on numbers from the Google Consumer Barometer. And I suppose the only question left to ask is this: what were you Googling in 2018? Do you think that these findings reflect what you were searching for? You know, did you feel that... because among other things that were searched for, aside from Najib Razak's whereabouts and Datin Sri Rosmah Manso, you know, the second place was held by Tun Mahathir Mohamad in terms of trending people. And the third, a little bit surprisingly, is Syed Saddiq. And then at five, we go back to our old habits, and it's Meghan Markle, who beat out Anwar Ibrahim in sixth. So yeah, I don't know. Do you think that this is an accurate reflection?
I think so. I was only surprised by Meghan Markle, actually. Syed Saddiq this year would have made a lot of headlines, as I think he was winning quite a number of awards internationally for being the youngest ever minister or youngest ever politician or something like that.
So, and making announcements, yeah.
And making a lot of announcements. And, you know, I guess abroad, a lot of people have been swooned by his good looks. So not surprising.
So tell us, what were you Googling in 2018? Do you think that these findings match up with your personal Google habits? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio to let us know. Moving on to our next story, Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has launched the brand new Proton X70 SUV. That is the best jingle ever. It's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
What a bop. The X70 comes in four variants with a starting price of 99,800 ringgit for the standard model. The price will be the same in all states, including Sabah and Sarawak. And it comes in five colours: flame red, snow white, armour silver, jet grey and cinnamon brown.
Dr. Mahathir congratulated the Proton team together with Geely and said that it's quite obvious that by teaming up with Geely, Proton has made some progress. It was announced at the launch that the car will include 5x free labour service, low interest rate on mortgage loans starting at 2.3% interest rate, 5-year warranty and a 5-year internet plan.
This is also the first launch since the strategic partnership between Proton Holdings and the Chinese car manufacturer Geely, which owns a 49.9% stake in Proton. So Proton released a video telling the story of the design of the car. Here's Guy Burgoyne, head of design for Geely Design China, explaining how the car takes after the motif of the Harimau.
So I think an obvious one is the Malaysian Tiger. So obviously it's in the identity for Proton. And the Proton design team really liked how this fitted so well with the side profile of the car. We have this kind of cat-like feature coming over the front wheel, and we have, again, a kind of haunch going over the rear wheel arch. So this fits really well and really nicely with the Proton motif. Another one that's also fitting with that is the front headlamp, where the front headlamp really has eyes. It really is the eye of the tiger in those front lamps. When you come up to the car, you really feel that presence in the face of the vehicle.
That was Guy Burgoyne from Geely Design China talking about the brand new Proton X70. Have you seen the car? Let us know what you think. I mean, we've been talking for some time now about this third national car project. Every time we raise it, the responses have always been really mixed. Some people saying that, yes, we do indeed need to be a manufacturing nation. This is part of what's going to bring all sorts of technology, all sorts of job creation to the country. While others go, I wish there were, you know, more plans in the mix other than revisiting what we've done in the past. But now it's out. It's here.
Yeah, maybe third time's the charm for our national car.
Do you like the look of it?
I think it looks cool, but that's as far as I can go. I mean, I have to try it out. I think for me, it's not so... Well, the look is important, but whether it works well, that's more important to me. Also, the price is a bit... Hi.
Yes, it's on the higher end. Let us know what you think about this Harimau motifed third national car. Also, talk to us about what you've been Googling. We're curious to know now that the results have been out for Malaysia and it shows that we've been more political than ever. Again, that number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Yi Liang on WhatsApp says 2018, yes, GE14. Alvin, meanwhile, says Googling Man United match results and highlights because I can't stomach the way they play these days, and a slew of PC gaming stuff to buy because I am a sucker for those things. So nope, I don't need to Google political stuff because BFM always keeps me up to date. Thank you for that. And then we've got another message here from Gerard who says, I Googled Jolo's whereabouts. See, I was surprised by that we're Googling Najib Razak's whereabouts and not Jolo.
Well, Najib is more trackable than Jolo, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't we be Googling what, you know, what is less known, as opposed to the greater unknown between the two?
Oh, maybe because everyone just wanted to see where his house was.
There is that also, yes. MZ says, I just watched Infinity War 3 weeks back. I've been Googling the MCU, Thanos, Endgame. Surprise, it's not at least one of the top searches because of the hype of the snapping and its aftermath. Is that a spoiler? Did I just... Never mind. It looks like Malaysians prefer politics to superheroes. Keep them coming. Let us know what you think about the third national car. Let us know what you have been Googling because it turns out that we've been Googling politics more than celebrities this year, which is kind of great. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be back shortly to talk about friction in technology. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9. It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we have been talking about what Malaysians have been Googling as well as our third national car. It's finally been announced. You can go look at it. You can probably test drive it. And we've been asking you what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Anwar Roslan says, I've been Googling how much the current price of my car is because the X70 looks stunning and high-tech compared to my ASX. April says, I think my top searches this year were GE14, Trump and Ragnarok. So Marvel is coming up quite a bit.
Is it Marvel or is it
Or is it the game? No, that's a good point. Maybe I'm in a Marvel frame of mind. Danny, though, says MCU Shang-Chi movie in development, first Asian superhero from Marvel. So Marvel conversations floating on. Anyway, keep those coming. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Our next story is actually going to be about friction, but we're using this term as it's applied in tech. It's the name given to any quality that makes a product more difficult or time-consuming to use, and eliminating it has become an obsession of the tech industry, accepted as gospel by many of the world's largest companies. Here is Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg describing how they removed roadblocks for apps allow them to add automatically to Facebook timelines.
So the best way to think about these kind of apps is that you're connecting the app and your timeline together. You're adding all of the activity and history in the app to your timeline, and you're going to automatically keep them in sync going forward. So that way anything that you do in the app gets added to your timeline. So to make this work, we completely redesigned the permissions dialog around the idea that the reason why you're adding an app is that you can add this activity.
Similarly, Airbnb, Uber, and hundreds of other startups have made billions of dollars by reducing the effort needed to rent rooms, hail taxis, and complete other annoying tasks. And when a company fails, excessive friction is often cited as the reason. There is nothing wrong with making things easier, but it's worth asking, could some of our biggest technological challenges be solved by making things slightly less simple?
After all, it is the frictionless design of social media platforms such as Facebook and Twitter that have been the source of innumerable problems, including foreign influence campaigns, viral misinformation, ethnic violence abroad. YouTube's most famous frictionless feature, which is that auto-playing function that starts another video as soon as the previous one has finished, has created a sort of rabbit hole effect that often leads viewers down a path to increasingly extreme content. Here's a video from the New York Times explaining how quickly disinformation can spread.
Mark Twain once said, "A lie is halfway around the world before the truth has even got its boots on." Except, even that's a lie. That quote's been attributed to loads of people. But whoever said it was right. We know now, empirically, that lies do have an unfair advantage over the truth, spreading further and faster, gaining traction every time they're repeated.
Repetition is part of the game. And the more it's a bad story is repeated, the more real it becomes to everyone.
But Twain's around the world part is also true. This is a global problem. In Iran, the government's deploying their own version of the Soviet playbook, calling their operation Nefak, which is Farsi for discord. Myanmar's been brewing up endless conspiracy theories to justify ethnic cleansing. And in Pakistan, the establishment sees CIA plots everywhere.
And many major security breaches, like the one that recently exposed the data of as many as 500 million Marriott guests, might have been more easily contained if these systems had more compartmentalized and less tailored for these for seamless operation. So there's an argument that while making products easier to use was usually good, there were cases where friction could be useful in preventing harm and steering users toward healthier behavior.
Bobby Goodlatte, a former Facebook designer who is now an angel investor, said that the tech industry's culture of optimization presumes that reducing friction is virtuous unto itself. It leads us to ask, can we, never should we? So several people have praised the time well spent movement spearheaded by Tristan Harris, a former Google design ethicist and co-founder of the Center for Humane Technology, which is, you know, a kind of pro-fiction cohort within the tech industry. Among other things, the group has successfully pressured companies like Facebook and Apple to take steps to curb tech addiction by including features that encourage users to limit their screen time.
Very often, reducing friction is a useful way to obscure some larger, less savory goal. For Facebook, it was a thinly veiled cover for the company's true goal of getting users to post more often and increasing the amount of data available for ad targeting. For YouTube, auto-playing videos have sharply increased view time, thereby increasing profitability. And for Amazon, tools like one-click ordering have created a stunningly efficient machine for commerce and consumption. There are signs that some tech companies are beginning to appreciate the benefits of friction. WhatsApp limited message forwarding in India this year after reports that viral threads containing misinformation had led to riots, and YouTube tightened its rules governing how channels can earn ad revenue to make it harder for spammers and extremists to abuse the platform.
So other ideas have been listed, including for Facebook to make it harder for viral misinformation to spread by adding, you know, certain speed bumps that might delay the spread of controversial posts above a certain threshold until fact checkers have evaluated it. Or YouTube might, for example, give users a choice between two videos when their video finished instead of auto-playing the next recommendation. And you could argue, of course, that this approach is a, you know, it's kind of paternalistic, but the alternative might look like a tech infrastructure that's optimized to ask as little of us as possible, with very few circuit breakers that are actually going to limit the impact of abuse and addiction. So friction here, I suppose, is just another word for effort. And that effort, as opposed to making things effortless, is what makes us capable of critical thought and self-reflection. It's giving us that time, I think, to think.
So there's nothing inherently good about complexity, and the tech industry could still do a lot of good by reducing friction in systems like healthcare, education, and financial services. But there are both philosophical and practical reasons to ask whether certain technologies should be a little less optimized for convenience. We wouldn't trust a doctor who made speed a priority over safety. Why would we trust an app that does?
So I suppose because we think doctors have direct, immediate impact upon our health and our lives. But the argument that was being made, I think, throughout this article that we read was it's more to do with how social media and the internet also has that same sort of impact. It's just that we don't see it. And it's particularly on our mental health. Because if you don't have that break, it is, I think none of us here would be strangers to the idea of falling down that internet rabbit hole where you're scrolling and scrolling or playing and playing and you don't notice how many hours have gone or how many posts that you've shared without thinking. So it is worth considering the idea of maybe easier isn't always better.
Though I wonder if tech companies do have an incentive to do that, right? Like the article stated that it is a lot of profit that keeps companies from making friction more available on these apps. And I think they do have that responsibility now because tech companies are so pervasive in our lives. And if they don't do something, you're right, it's really bad for our well-being.
It's also partly because they're getting called out now. I think that is the difference. For the longest time, they were just viewed as fun ways to pass time. But now, with the kind of political change and upheaval that we're seeing all over the world and the way in which social media has played a very direct role in all of it, I think people are now... People, and by people I mean tech companies, are now having to consider the possibility that they might have made things too easy for all of us, and they've automated the things that ordinarily our brains would say, are you sure you want to share that? Are you sure you want to watch that? And by taking away those breaks, I suppose, here we all are. But, you know, let us know what you think. Are you enjoying the ease of the internet, or would you rather see a little bit of friction, a little bit of difficulty being introduced? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a listener who said... The Proton X70 is not the third national car, and I apologize, I did say that just now. And he went on to say the third national car prototype's not out yet. This is just the first model since the collaboration with Geely. So as promised, I am making that correction on air. Sorry about that. But I would still like to hear your thoughts. Let us know what you think about the Proton X70. Let us know what you've been Googling. Nini says, from now on, I'd probably Google the glass piano surrendered by Miranda, who received it from Joe Lowe. And it's true, actually. If you have not seen the photo of that piano, it is kind of impressive.
When I read Billion Dollar Whale, I was still very surprised that Miranda Kerr and Joe Lowe had something romantically. That still surprises me today.
Maybe she has a thing for ostentatiously gigantic see-through pianos. Dr. RK says, sorry, I'm not a fan of local cars. I believe that money can be better spent elsewhere, but I hope that the third national car will be a leap in technology over the previous ones. I wonder whether it can better my trusty 308 Turbo Lion, though. And on Twitter, eMacro says, the Proton X70 looks good, but won't last long. Once there are thousands on the road, it'll be another plain Jane. With this quality of car, though, there is no need to waste capital to set up the third national car. Keep those thoughts coming in. We were talking about, what have you been Googling? We're talking about your thoughts on the Proton X70. We're also asking you whether you would like to see a more difficult internet, because perhaps it's been too easy for us to just abuse it fundamentally. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.